If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra. And if you have trouble finding it, it's one of the smaller books in the Bible. Go to the book of Psalms. Go backwards. Job, Esther, Nehemiah, and then you'll find a little small book there called Ezra. Ezra was a contemporary of the prophet Haggai, of Zechariah. And they all prophesied around the same time. And you probably heard of them referred to as the minor prophets. It's not that anything that they had to say or anything was of less importance than the rest of them. It was just a smaller book that was more tailored to the situation and the time that they was in. Ezra was a scribe. He had reached a place of prominence and priority in the hierarchy of under the king Darius. Darius was a king of Persia. And he had reached the level to the point that Darius would give Ezra anything that he wanted because he knew that he could trust Ezra. And as a scribe, he was very knowledgeable in the law of Moses and very capable of teaching. And he had a great respect for what he had taught. And I'm going to begin in chapter 8 in verse 15. I'm going to read about four verses here. And the Lord willing, and you can read the rest of it when you go home. Ezra chapter 8 in verse 15. And this is Ezra speaking here. He says, "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there abode we in tents 3 days, and I viewed the people and the priest, and found that there were none of the sons of Levi." Now drop down to verse number 21, if you will. He said, "And then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek Him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all of our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldier and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon them for good that seek Him. And His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." Now, there's a lot of history in such a short book here. And as I began to look, what got my attention was this river of Ahava. And after I began to study, it made sense to me what Ezra was trying to say to us here. And the decree had, let me go back to the beginning. A decree had went out under Cyrus. That decree went out, and that marked the time that we would see the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday 500 years later. You know, I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, but God knows what's going to take place 500 years from now. Time is nothing to God. But there was a decree that went out. And you'll find that Zerubbabel and Joshua, they took a number of people back with them. But it was only the ones that wanted to go. The decree went out from the king that if you want to go, you can go. If you want to stay, you can stay. Let's get this right. God's not going to make anybody go. You're going to have to want to go. There were some that was there that said, "You know what? This is all we've ever known. We've got our home here. We've got our family here. We've got our livelihood here. We've got it made here. I think we'll just stay." in the land of captivity. We don't have it so bad after all. I think I'll just stay right here. I'll tell you what, there's nothing in this world that I want to tie me down. I've got heaven on my mind. And I want to go more than anything else in this world. I want to see Jesus face to face. I want to bow down at His feet and worship Him. He gave them the means to go. He told Ezra that anything that you need, I'll give you silver, I'll give you gold, I'll provide you an army to lead the way. Ezra said, we can use the silver and we can use the gold. I'm paraphrasing here. But he said, we don't need an army. We've got God on our side. When they get to Jerusalem, that capital city, it was in disrepair. The foundations was laid in ruins. They started trying to rebuild back the temple. Rebuild back the walls. But there was occupants of the land that did not want the Israelites there. You know what they decided to do? We'll just join in with them and help them. And as we begin to work side by side with them, we're not going to really do any real work. We're just going to complain and grumble. You know the devil still does that in a church house? He'll have people that he'll put in place that don't like your singing. They don't like your teaching. They don't like your preaching. They don't like anything about the church. They don't like anything. They don't even love God. And you wonder, why in the world are they here? I'll tell you why. Because the devil put them there. To make your life miserable. To get you discouraged. And the children of Israel just kept working. You know, Nehemiah put it like this. People with a made up mind, there's nothing impossible that they can't do. I've done made up my mind. I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. So they decided, well, we can't get them so discouraged that they're going to quit. So they decided, well, we're going to take them back to the courts of Cyrus. Brother Virgil, I respect you in law enforcement. But I'll tell you what, I I'm glad we have the court system, but I have no faith in our court system. We've come to the place that we have judges that will interpret the law the way they want to interpret the law and make it up as they go. And I don't understand it. We still only have one constitution. But people are so happy, you can turn the television on, and if you've got this, or you've got that, or you possibly had this, call us. We've got a class action lawsuit. They delayed the building. They delayed the working of the temple. For 17 years, you know what the children of Israel done? They got discouraged. And they decided, well, we can't work on the walls, we can't work on the temple. So they went back to working on their houses. Nehemiah, or Haggai and Zechariah come along and say, what are you doing? You have a great opportunity. You need to seize this opportunity. It's time to get back to work. And it started a fire in them. When word got back to Ezra, It started a fire in Ezra. He couldn't stand for everything to be in disrepair. He said, I want to go and be a part of the reviving of the house of God, be a part of this rebuilding of the Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple again. Nehemiah rebuilds the walls. After that, it's all a process of God's plan. Ezra goes to Darius, and Darius writes a decree. You can read about it in chapter 7. All that wants to go back can go back, but you have to go back in your own free will. He gave them vessels of silver, vessels of gold. It was a long journey. The best of my study is that I can figure out it was between 700 and 800 miles on foot. But I got to studying about this river of Ahava. We don't want to leave anyone behind. So we're going to have a meeting place. We'll go down by the river Ahava, and that's where we'll meet. I can stop right there and preach. I don't want to leave anybody behind. I want to take everybody with me that I can to that place called heaven. Ahava means I am still alive. They had been in captivity. They had thought that the work was over. They thought that the Jewish people were done. They thought the temple would never be rebuilt again. But I'm so glad that we have a meeting place along the way, along the journey. There's a place that we can... God put meeting places all over this country. Little churches that have dotted this countryside. Meeting places that we can go to. Why? Because we don't want to leave anyone behind. I see about three things that I want to bring out. This meeting place, it is a place of discernment and understanding. I want you to look back with me in verse number 15, if you will. He took a stroll. He said, and I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there abode we in the tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priest and found that there were none of the sons of Levi. Well, Brother Isaac, what good is it going to do to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls, rebuild the city, rebuild the temple, and no priest? That would have been a sad day. None of the sons of Levi voluntarily came. You say about Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. He wasn't of the tribe of Levi. He wasn't a priest. But while he was at the meeting place, Ezra said, I need some discernment. So you'll read down in the very next verse that he gathered men of understanding. I'm still talking about discernment at the meeting place. You know, as a pastor, I get people all the time coming up to me and they've got situation after situation. It may be jobs, it may be family, it's different circumstances. Well, what do I do? Go to the meeting place. This world will give you advice, but this world knows nothing about the advice, godly advice. They know nothing about praying. They know nothing about seeking God and stepping out on faith and trying to follow God and the discernment that God can give you and only God can give you. The advice this world gives you, you better be careful. This world is after the world only and not looking out after you. But you'll find advice at the house of God that you can take to the bank. Matter of fact, you can take it all the way to heaven. The best advice that you can get is right here. They come back with 18 priests. They change their mind. You know, it's good to have a meeting place. I'm amazed, Brother Virgil, at the number of people that you ask them if they go to church. Oh, yeah, we go to the church. We go down to the house of prayer. Really? I don't ever remember seeing you here. Yes, that's our church. It's their church if they need somebody in the hospital. They need prayer. They got themselves in some kind of financial trouble. They got themselves in some kind of legal problems. That's where we go to church at. Don't you remember? I'm a member down there. All of a sudden, they had 18 priests. Well, I'm going to leave where I'm at. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be a priest. I'll be careful of the leadership you choose. I see also here, there were 220 Nephilims that came. What is a Nephilim? They are temple servants. You'll find out that they served under King David. They was appointed under King David. And their family served in the first temple. Could you imagine how much work the church could get done on a work day to have 220 workers show up? Sometimes we pray and we fast and we plead with God. And if we're not careful, we'll quit. We'll pack it up and leave too soon. I've seen people that have given up on God. But if they'll just wait on the workers. Seek for discernment and understanding from God and wait on the Lord. I've seen people that give up too soon. Just keep waiting. God will show up. I see that this was also a place of dedication. He called a fast in verse number 21. Now, this wasn't DoorDash from McDonald's. He called a fast. And he says in verse number 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Now, God's not interested in personal injury. That's not what he's talking about here. He said, we afflicted ourselves. That means we done what was not natural. You know, if I could give you an example of that, after I get through preaching, especially on Sunday night, Sundays is the hardest day a preacher has. After I get through preaching on Sunday night, I'm starving. I'll just put it, I don't eat. I eat lunch, and after that, I don't eat until after church on Sunday night because I'm a ball of nerves. Brother Virgil, you've been there. But after Sunday night service, I give you everything that I've got. Trust me, everything that is within me, I give it to you. I am wore smooth out by the time Sunday night preaching is over with. I'll go down here to Brahms, and I'm going to get me a little junior cheeseburger, the Lord willing. And I'm going to ask him to bless that to the nourishment of my body. Janie's going to ask that it don't make us sick, raise our blood pressure, our sugar, make us fat, our cholesterol. She's got a list of things that she does. Hey, I'm not going to condemn her. She still believes in miracles. But I'm going to afflict myself, Brother Virgil, because self wants to go to the ice cream side and get a hot fudge sundae or a hot caramel sundae or a banana split, and that's not good for a diabetic. And when I get home, I want to raid the refrigerator. I'm afflicting myself because I'm doing what is not natural and trying to restrain from what I want to do. They afflicted theirself. And then you'll find out in verse 23 that he was entreated of us. You know, God always gives back more than what you give. You'll hear TV evangelists talking about giving money. Listen to me, God don't need your money. You need God's blessings. And when we come to the point that we afflict ourselves and we put back at what is natural, we stay up a little bit past our bed. I know you have to get up and go to work in the morning. But when we sacrifice what we can for God and afflict ourselves and say, Lord, I'm going to worship. I'm going to go a little extra. I'm going to go another mile. I'm going to help this person. I'm going to stay up and pray for that person. God will bless you. The river Ahava, the meeting place. By the way, I'm so thankful we have a meeting place in the air conditioner today. It was a place of dedication, a place of discernment. I see that it's that phrase, he entreated us, it's a phrase that is talking about the presence. And the best way I can explain it, it's like a sweet smell, a fragrance. There's a sweet savor in here, in this place tonight. They said, not only do we want it, but I want it for my children. I want my children to experience this. This is not just for grown-ups, but I want the kids to experience what I want them to smell what I'm smelling, to feel what I'm feeling. And get this, it's not just for their children and not just for the adults, but said for their substance. I want my home to be blessed. I want my car to be blessed. I want my vehicle to be blessed. I want everything that I own. Some of y'all may think this is a little strange, but when Brother Kenny and Sister Angela Carter got their new double wide, Brother Jared, they called me and asked me, said, would you come over and bless our home? Absolutely. There's some people would think that's just strange. But it's biblical. I want God to bless everything that I've got. I want the power of God to rest upon my house, my possessions, my work. A place of dedication. I see that it was a place of direction. In verse 22, he said, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way." They had lost their way. The army knew where to go. The military knew how to find their way back to Jerusalem. But the children of Israel had lost their way. You know, when you're in church and you're in a service like this, and the Word of God comes on you and the power of God comes on you, and you step out in faith, the enemy does the same thing that he done right here. What's it say? He said, because we had... Do you know that's interesting that he says, because we? Ezra's the one. He should have said, because I. Ezra's the one that refused the military. Ezra's the one that refused them, the help. He said, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against them that forsake him. In other words, what Ezra was saying is, I can't go back to the king and ask for help now. He'll think, well, how big is your God? Has your God forsaken you? Has your God failed you? Well, this is easy to preach tonight, this point. Did you realize that not every service the pastor has the key? Not every service the singer has the key. And there's some here tonight that maybe not understand everything that I'm talking about, and this may seem strange, but I'm glad we have a meeting place. There is always, I believe, in every service, one person that has the key to the service. And when some of y'all stepped out tonight, I believe Sister Christian was back there praying. I don't mean to embarrass you, but Sister Anita come up on the altar and begin to pray, and different ones gathered around and begin to pray. I tell you what, the devil will tell you the same thing he told Ezra. You have lost your way. How many times has somebody stepped out and you had a word from God and gave the word that God gave you for the service, and the devil told you you made a fool out of yourself? I'm glad we got a meeting place. I'm glad we got a place of like-minded believers, a place that God still moves, a place of discernment, a place of dedication, and a place that people still step out and worship and say, Lord, I'm going to give you all that I've got. I'll tell you what, it does a pastor's heart good to hear Mandy stand up and testify like she did. Mandy, just keep being bold for God. Don't ever take the tuck head for what God has done for you. We still serve a God that has all power in heaven and in earth. He is still almighty. The river of Ahava. We're on a journey. This is the picture of the church. We're just pilgrims and strangers, traveling to a city whose builder and maker But thank the Lord we have a meeting place that we can come to. Why? Because I don't want to leave one person behind. Some people think that church is not important. But Ezra says we've got to have a meeting place. We've got to have it.